Living below in this soul sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving along to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face this chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 down to verse 13, I believe it is, if you will. Everybody's found it. Hold it up. So I know everybody's got it. Amen. All right. I can tell you that 2 Samuel comes out to 1 Samuel, so that helps you just a little bit, I hope. So, yeah. All right. I'm going to try to be serious with you because it's a serious time. But if I say something humorous, just forgive me. And we've been getting along all right, as far as I know. But anyway, 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David said in verse 1, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was the house of Saul, a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan, have yet a son which is lame at his feet, or on his feet? And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered him, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that I am, that I shouldest look upon such a dead dog as am I, so as I am. Then the king called a Ziba, Saul's servant has said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son, all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwell in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity today to come to your house to preach the word of God. Father, we thank you for each one that's here. We ask, Lord, suit a blessing to each one. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless Brother Donnie so he's there today that don't feel good and sick, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you reach down and touch him. Strengthen him, Lord, that he might soon be back in God's house to preach the word of God. Father, thank you for everything you do. Preach through me this morning, and we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we read and study the Bible, there's one fact that we are sure to notice. And I know we can always notice some other things, but there's one thing we're sure to notice, and that is that God is faithful. I think about that and I ask the question, if he was no more faithful than some of us, we would be in a mess, wouldn't we? Would we not? I know all of you are faithful to come into God's house, but I'm talking to myself also. God would do exactly what he said he would do. And faithful is he, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You see, God would do exactly what he says he would do. You can depend on that because he is faithful, and what he says he's going to do, he'll do it. How many of us are like that? I know that we're not God, we're not Jesus Christ. I know that and realize that, but he is our example. And we ought to do exactly what he tells us to do. We ought to be where in our life where he wants us to be. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'll be first one to say that I many times don't do the things that I want to do and then I should do. I don't do them right when I do them sometimes, and sometimes I just don't feel like that God is with me. But I know he is. But deep down in my soul, I know that God is with me because he came in to live with me and to lead me and guide me and direct me and also convict me of my sin. Amen. You see, the Bible says in Lamentation, great is thy faithfulness. God's faithfulness is shown all through the Word of God. Now, we can look at the testimony of two of God's aged men. And we'll look at them, and as we see them, it's a clear example here of God's faithfulness. As Jacob was getting ready to bless Joseph and his two sons, notice what he said in Genesis chapter 48 and verse 15. He said this, and as he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, and the God which fed me all of my life long in this day, he was testifying of a faithful feeding of the Lord. Now, surely God is a faithful feeder. I've never seen, and I'll just give you this quote too, And Psalms 37, verse 25. I've never seen. I have been young and now old, but yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You see, God is faithful. Let me get that into your mind and your heart. God is faithful. I get that in mind as I give it to you. You see, God is faithful to provide for our needs, is he not? Surely, we get down sometime and think, well, what are we going to do next? But like my wife told me yesterday, trust the Lord. You've been preaching for 40-some years, almost 50 years, and you preach, trust the Lord, trust the Lord. And I'm glad she said that. At first, it kind of shook me up, made me think a little bit. You know, sometimes you don't like to think, especially when you're going to think about some things that is about you that you don't want to know. Okay, I know that. So you see, as she said that, I thought about it. I said, I don't trust the Lord like I ought to. And I'm here to say to you today, none of us trust him like we ought to. But he's faithful to feed us, is he not? The victuals sometimes get a little small, but so what? We need to have some small meals once in a while, do we not? I think we do anyway. I wouldn't gain so much if I didn't eat so much and didn't work. I mean, I should work and knock it off. But sometimes you don't do that. God is faithful to provide our needs physically and spiritually. God has faithfully prepared places of feeding for his children, that they might nature and grow. Now in the Lord, that's what I'm talking about, and grow in the Lord. Newborn babes in Christ, what do they desire? The sincere milk of the word, do they not? You know why desire the sincere milk of the Lord is because they hadn't got spiritual enough for to have that spiritual food so bad, so much. I mean, and he cannot give you. They cannot take the meat of the Word of God. Oh, you know, a lot of people live and study God's Word and live God's way, and still, they can't do that. They can't. They can't. I'm sorry. My mind went boom. I know y'all's mind don't do that. But just wait till you get a little bit old, and I guarantee you that it will. I want to share with you something that. No, I don't think any of y'all knew my brother, the only one I had, and he passed away the 1st of May this year. And before he passed away, he couldn't remember anything. He couldn't even talk to you. That's sad. I went to see him, and he'd just lay there or sit. If they had him sitting up, he'd just sit there and wouldn't say anything. You could try to get him to say something, and his mind wouldn't let him say nothing. He lived a little while like that. But I'm praising the Lord that, first of all, that he's gone to heaven by his testimony. One of the most beautiful funerals that I've ever been to. And what God's men said about him. And then, not only that, you see, he studied God's word. I know he did. I know he taught Sunday school for a long time. And he went on mission trips. And they said it, you know, as they went on the mission trips, and they'd get weary or, you know, something like that. And he'd tell them, well, God's going to take care of you. Just believe that. Believe God. And he was talking about that at his funeral. And, you know, people today, some are going to get like that before they pass away. But thank God, one of these days, we'll be able to see our loved ones again, won't we? You know, I was talking about spiritual food, and the word desire means to intensively crave. Now, if God has prepared a place of feeding for his children or not feeding, there must be something wrong. You see, this we look at, and we're one of many places of feeding. And it's found here in this passage of Scripture that we just read to you. Now, I want to share some things with you this morning about that. Now, that was just my introduction. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, we have one of the most beautiful pictures of God's grace being extended to the lost and dying sinner. Now, we need to realize that Mephibosheth could have received the pardon of the king while he was in Lodibar, but he could not have experienced the provision of the king while he was in Lodibar. There is a difference. Now, those could only be enjoyed at the king's table, and that's where he was sitting, at the king's table. See, these things that Mephibosheth went through, except for one thing, and some of us probably might go through this, but Mephibosheth eat at the king's table. We can eat at the king's table if we'll get right with him, and if we'll just let him lead and guide and direct us in our Christian life. Get in God's perfect will for our life, and he'll feed us. You see, we'll be like Mephibosheth. But he could not experience the vision of the king while he was in Lodibar. Not the provisions. You see, those only could be enjoyed at the king's table. We can also say that the sinner may experience forgiveness in the world. Is anybody here today? I'm going to ask this question. If you don't mind answering, if you don't, then I know that you don't answer. Don't have the answer to it. Okay. But anybody here that got saved somewhere else beside the church? We all got saved in the church, right? Praise God for that. I hope you all saved, and I hope you got saved. But you don't have to be in the church to be saved. I know that. But listen, he couldn't discover, could not even enjoy God's provisions except at God's table. You see, Hebrews 10:25 says, "Forsake not the assembling yourselves together as a manner some are, but even as the day approaches." I guess I think that's not quite right, but that's what it means. All right, so we see then that we can get saved in somewhere else, but we cannot enjoy. You see, God's promised the child of God a life that will flourish and produce fruit in old age. I've heard people say, "Well, you know, I'm too old to do this. I'm too old to do that." I'm here to tell you, you're not too old to do what God tells you, because he's not going to tell you something that you cannot do without his help. Amen. Well, you see, God has given his men, his servants, the responsibility of set the table. Our responsibility is to be at the table and at meal times. And there's something that you, as a believer, can experience in God's house that you cannot be found at any other table. Did you know that? All right, let me give you four or five things today and we'll go home. When you come to the king's table, you'll be exposed to the poverty of your past. The poverty of your past. Now, before you got saved, you was in poverty. I don't care how much money you had, but you're still in poverty. You're a sinner and needed to be saved. And the spiritual aspect of things is that we need to be saved, and it's the best thing that ever happened to any of us. You see, God has given his men that responsibility. And when we come to the king's table, we're going to be exposed to our past. What are you saying? All right, Lodabar probably never looked so bad to Mephibosheth until he arrived at the king's table, and he looked around for a description of the king's table on a certain day. And now we need today, first of all, to look at the table of King Solomon. Okay? If you want to, you turn to 1 Kings 4:22-23. And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour and 3 score measures of meat, 10 fed oxen, 20 oxen out of the pastures, and 100 sheep, beside harts and roebucks, and fallow deer and fatted fowl. You say, well, I ain't have eaten none of this stuff. I haven't either. But his table was full. I've eaten some fowl. I ate chicken, they fail, I think. I've even eaten some dove. I think it was dove. They said it was anyway. See, God is always, I'll say this again, God always feeds us. I say that this was a far cry here at King Solomon's table than he was used to in Lodabar. And as he looked from the table like that, it would have reminded him of where he came from, would it not? You see, this was all so true in the prodigal son's life. The Bible told us that his condition probably didn't seem so bad until he remembered his father's house. He got to thinking about it, what his father's house was. You know, the Bible tells us that as he was out in the hog pens of the world, he ate some of the slop of the hogs. Can you imagine that? That was in pretty bad shape, wasn't it? But in Luke chapter 15, verse 17, the Bible said this, and when he came to himself, we need to come to ourselves every once in a while. He said, how many hind servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. What happened? He went home, didn't he? There was that Christian pilgrim. Can you see the helplessness of his past when he began to consider the Father's house? If you look in John 14, verse 2, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Isn't that wonderful to know? All right, then. First of all, we will be exposed to the poverty of our past. Now, number two is this. You'll be exposed to the position that you possess right now, where you are. When Mephibosheth was brought to the king's table, he realized that he occupied a new position. When you got saved, you occupied a new position. Am I right so far? He occupied a new position. And now had the rights and the standings of a king's son. We did too. Did we not? We now had the rights. Folks, this is also true of the sinner who's been born again by God's marvelous grace. Born from above, in other words. We find in the book of Romans that we're no longer enemies of God. It also tells us that there is no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. What did it say in Romans 8 and Romans 5? He says, there is therefore now no more condemnation, did he not? Okay. Now, everything that he had lost through his grandfather, Saul, was now regained. In other words, it was with us, everything that we lost in Adam has now been regained in our life. You see, Saul was now regained, so it was with us, so as it is with us, everything that we lost in Adam. The final difference was his supplication. He was no longer a beggar in poverty, but now he fellowships and he dines with the king as a son. Those crippled legs were still crippled, but they were not seen. They couldn't be seen because he got them under the table. And the same thing is with us, with our sin. Same with our sin. They cannot be seen when we get them under the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, the crippled legs speak of the poverty of the past, unable to find himself or help himself. But they no longer buffet him, but they bless him now. They are no longer torment him, but now they tender him. He is a king's son. And that is forever, the Bible says there in verse 7. If you want to read it again, in fact, I think I'll read it again. It said, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. What's he telling him? He's telling him that he's exposed, yes, but now it's different. He's got a different standing. He's got a different substance. See, we have too. You think about it. Now, number three is this. You'll be exposed to the purchase of your pardon. Mephibosheth soon learned that all he enjoyed was at the expense of another. In verse 7 of that. In the same way, all that the child of God enjoys is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ purchased at Calvary. He purchased us at Calvary. His blood has been applied to our heart and our life. And Philippians 2:8 it says, and being in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross, the most cruel, the most shameful death ever known to man. Jesus Christ went through it for man. 1 Peter chapter 3:18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Just for the unjust. In other words, he was in our... Just for the unjust, excuse me. He did it, that death, that he, the most cruel death. It was for our stead. Now, in Romans chapter 5, the Bible says, for by as one man's disobedient, which was Adam, were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did abound. Amen. All right. And Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Jesus signed my pardon. This I surely know. He took my place at Calvary. Now I won't have to go. Think about that. That's shouting ground there, is it not? You see, now we enjoy the untold blessing of the Lord. But it's at not at our expense, but it's all at the expense of somebody else. His name was Jesus. Amen. Give me amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Then we see the presence of the king. Not only did we see that he was exposed to poverty, to our past, the position that we possess, and the purchase of our pardon, but we're also exposed to the presence of the king. If the king could not be found in the garden or the courtyard or at the table, at least he could be found three times a day at the king's table. When the child of God goes searching for the Lord's presence, we may not be able to find him in other places, but one thing for sure, we'll always find him at the king's table. In other words, the church house of God. We'll find him here. We can find him in other places if we'll look for him, but we will not ever find him in the places of the world. But you see, the Lord, many of God's children, try to satisfy their hunger by going somewhere else. You say, well, that's reason for our church not being in the booger. It could be. It could be. See, until people get right with the Lord and be willing and wanting to come to God's house, they're not going to come. But you see, they go somewhere else. They go to the mountains. They go to the lake. They go to racetracks. They go to the golf course and a lot of other places. I can tell you where you will satisfy that hunger for God on the Lord's day at his table. The house of God, because it's there that he meets with his people. Here he meets with his people. Because it's God's house. Amen. And we always ought to remember that. It's God's house. He exposes them to some things and feeds them of the spiritual things. Preaching. Praying. Praising God. Singing. Shouting. Fellowship. All of these things God exposes us too, when we come to the house of God. If you're hungry today for the Word of God, he will feed you from the Word of God. I may not be the best preacher, but I tell you this. If you listen, something in the message will touch your heart. I believe that, much as I believe I'm standing here today. So, let's close. In just a minute. You'll be exposed. This is the last one. You'll be exposed to the practice of praise. You see, Mephibosheth found himself bowing before the king in humble praise and gratitude. Mephibosheth couldn't praise him like some other people praise him. But it really doesn't matter. He couldn't get up and shout, but he could sit down and shout, praise the Lord. There's different ways of praising the Lord. Some people just say amen, and that's fine, praise the Lord. Amen, you know what that means, don't you? That's the truth. And it needs to be said more to encourage the pastor as he preaches. If you say amen to him or for what he says, then I believe it would help him a lot. Now, I don't know if you do or don't, but I believe that you would if you did. You'd bless him. And there's that fellowship that we can have in Christ Jesus. There comes the shouting, the praying, and the praise, and the preaching. But you see, we also find ourselves giving praise to God with the children of God when we're exposed to our poverty, our position, our pardon, our purchase. We've been purchased with a price. Our sins have been given, been forgiven with a price. As I said a while ago, Jesus paid it all. It didn't cost me a thing to get saved. But living that clean Christian life will cost you something. People will make fun of you, yes. But you know what? Their time is coming. I was talking to Brother Donnie yesterday on the phone. And we were talking about something. I asked him, I said, have you ever thought about those fires that are popping up everywhere? What did God say in his word? He said, I will not destroy the world or earth or world with water anymore, did he? If I'm not mistaken, he said it would be by fire. Even if I don't remember that right, I believe that these is an example or a witness or whatever that we take it as, and I think we ought to take it seriously. But everything is happening in this world today. Because I realize that as these things come to pass, what did he say? You see these things come to pass, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. It's just about over, folks. Jesus Christ will step out any time and call his children home. He said the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds. Be with them. So whether we're still living when he does, or when we're gone by the clods, those clods are going to roll back. We're going to be gone. The same way when Jesus come up out of and he resurrected from the dead, that old stone was rolled away. And there he was. He arose. And we're serving a risen Savior. He lives. And because he lived, I can live also. Ooh, I feel good. Is it cold in here to y'all? I'm about to shiver. But it's not coldness. I'm going to tell you that now. There is a difference. I feel like traveling on myself. I don't believe it's going to be long. If he calls me today, I know that I've got some things probably in my life that it shouldn't be in there. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I ask God every day and every night to forgive me of the things that I shouldn't have said that I did say, and the things that I didn't say that I should have said, and the things that I didn't do that I should have done, and the things that I shouldn't have done that I did do. Did I get that right? I think it's something similar to that anyway. But I ask God to forgive me for that. And I believe he forgives me. And I believe right now, if he come, call me home, I'm good. I've been standing here and y'all wonder where I went. She caught that. She pretty good at that. If you're saved, you'd go with me. But if you're not, it's pitiful. Don't you want to be pitiful? I tell you, I want God to say to me, well done, thy faithful servant. Enter in into the joys of this name. Don't you want to hear that too? You see, we're a privileged people. God has privileged us as a Christian.
I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. You see, this world is trying to change Christianity. They're trying to change things in the church to satisfy them. Well, here, my friend, let's try to satisfy God. Don't worry about self, because God's going to take good care of us. If we'll satisfy Him and we'll do His will, He's going to take care of us.
I praise the Lord this morning. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Wouldn't you? Of course, I'd love to have a little more silver and a little more paperwork, but other than that, you know, praise the Lord. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads.